Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello, friends, and welcome. Happy Saturday. We hope that wherever you are, that you are having a good time. Because guess what? We're going to talk about real estate. We're going to talk about everything having to do with your home, and we are excited about it. This is the show, Your Real Estate Today. Welcome, welcome. I'm Paul Jamison, your host, owner of the Jamison family of companies. That's Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, Jamison Property Investments. And we have an absolutely full, loaded, fully disclosing now show, you'll catch that pun later, of a show based on the subject of real estate, and excited to do that. I've got Brenna Heller with the Costner Law Firm is going to be joining us today. Yay for that. And also Sandy will be with us too in this segment to give us the mortgage update. And if you want to listen, now the producer TJ, the man of the legend, keeps reminding me, you got to tell people where else they can listen. You got 1110 AM. You got 99.3 FM. You got WBT.com, where you can go to the shows tab and listen to podcasts of our show until your ears fall off. Or you can also listen to us live on radio.com. And it just keeps going, the fun. Jamison Realty YouTube's channel. You can look at what we look like and all the gestures. And when I get up on the table and start getting my arms going, you can see it all. It's really probably not worth seeing, but a little fun. Anyway, so here we go. All right. What did I learn this week? What in the world did I learn this week? All right. Here is what I learned. Customer service is a dying art. I'm so surprised right now at the level of understanding of what the word service means to some. Have you gone out to a restaurant lately? And sometimes you get the server that you want to just give the most gymungous tip to. And then you get the other one that comes, puts the napkin on the table, which kind of to me means that they've come over and like peed on your tree. And then, you know, maybe if you're lucky, after 10, 15, 20 minutes, and TJ, I know, move the mic over, that they don't even come back in a timely manner to get your order, and you find them over there just chit-chatting with somebody else and having a big time that they're friends. And then when you finally get the order, it sits under the light bulb for like 30 minutes and they don't bring it to the table. And they could care less if your water's empty, your coffee's empty. You're a food critic, TJ.
I attempt.
And so you, do you understand what I'm saying about customer service?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that'll turn my review of a restaurant if the service is bad.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Restaurants is an easy target that we can all talk about. But real estate, the legal profession, the mortgage profession, the maintenance profession, the plumbers, the air conditioning guys, customer service starts with one simple concept. Right, Sandy? How about the one, you know,
that's right,
the answer the phone one? You know?
Yeah.
You know, being available.
One, answering the phone.
Being available, being accessible. And, you know, it doesn't mean it has to be perfect. They don't have to come over and tell you and show you pictures of their family. But they have to make it as though they understand what serving others really means. And it is a lost art. And I learned this week that if you pay attention, it's not really hard. And it starts with just being available and responsive. You agree, Sandy?
I do agree.
Yeah.
I can't stand when people don't answer or don't call you back.
Yeah. It's really hard. It's hard, and it's hard for me to take because I take it personally. If I forget to call somebody back, I'm devastated. It makes me crazy. So, just so you know. And TJ, where is the, I mean, this is a big open-ended question, but I think it's important. Of all the places you've gone, are there any restaurants where you remember customer service was so over the top that it left an impression in your memory?
I mean, I honestly get mostly good service everywhere, so nothing really sticks out to me. Luckily, I do end up with pretty good service.
Yeah. You know, one place that I love that I'm amazed at their ability to understand customer service is Chick-fil-A.
Absolutely.
Chick-fil-A, of anything else, get it. And they're not even full service, right?
No.
But I always feel like I'm getting the best that they have to offer. So, anyway, and I like their chicken.
Yeah, just it doesn't hurt.
No, it sure doesn't. And I don't think they're having a shortage right now. So, okay. All right, so let's move on. Next, if you don't prepare your home, you are not going to get top dollar. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, even though this is a hot market. So don't think that you can put a dirty potholder out there and get multiple offers. That's not going to happen. Next, the subject of buyer fatigue. People ask me day after day after day after day, is this going to continue? I bet they ask you that too, Sandy. Is this?
Yes, they do.
Is this going to continue? Are these trends going to continue? And I say they're going to slow down. But the primary reason they're going to slow down is buyer fatigue. Buyers are getting tired of not winning. They're getting really tired of not winning. So Sandy, Brenna, myself, we focus on how do you win? How do you win for your clients? How do you get them to win? You have to have that focus. And guess what? It's working. So, next. Does cash always win? Does cash always win? Sandy, does cash always win?
Nope.
It does not. It does not. It's confidence in who's financing the deal and the stability of the buyer. Now, you have to have cash to win. You have to have substantial enough cash to be able to put the money down to win. But I'm going to turn it over to you, Sandy. It's also confidence in the ability for that to close, right?
That's right.
All right. You got 2 minutes, lady. What is our mortgage update, Sandy Dickinson, Cross Country Mortgage?
Well, it's my pleasure, Paul. rates have been fairly steady. Purchases were down 4% this week. Refis were up 4%. 63% of all activity was refis, people consolidating debt and taking cash out. The big thing is that there's still inflation fears out there. So Peter Buchvar, Chief Investment Officer of Bleakley, thinks that it's going to be transitory and that it won't last because he says that 10% of it is because people are buying used cars because of the shortage of semiconductors for new cars, and 10% is for housing, and he thinks that that we are not going to have a lot of inflation. The Fed, however, thinks we are, so it's a big controversy. If we do, the rates are going to go up. So it's a perfect time to buy. So don't get tired out. Just keep trying to buy those houses and keep refinancing.
And goodwill means a lot, doesn't it, Sandy?
It does.
It truly does. Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage. How do we get in touch with you?
You can call my mobile, 704-577-0144.
If you're thinking about purchasing or refinancing, you need to give Sandy a call. She is fabulous. She can get it closed quickly, and she always gets it done. Familiar. I know somebody else that says that. Anyway, more to come. We've got Brenna Heller with the Costner Law Firm, myself, Paul Jamison. We're talking real estate, and it's Saturday. We'll be right back. Stay with us at News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Boy, those guitar lessons are paying off. I'm getting pretty good. Don't you think, TJ? Yeah, the Show Your Real Estate Today. I'm glad you all like my jam. I've been working on it. For real. You believe that? I got another one for you. All right, the Show Your Real Estate Today. Welcome. You're just tuning in. You probably are going, who is that crazy guy? I'm Paul Jamison, your host here with Brenna Heller with the Costner Law Firm. Hey, Brenna.
Hey, crazy guy.
All right, so amongst the thousand other things you're working on for me, we are actually here to talk about real estate. But before we launch into it, Brenna, you heard me say in the previous segment about buyer fatigue. It's real. It really is. So what I really want to do, and I think it's playing a significant part of our market, and Sandy is right. She is still helping buyers win. That I just want to review just a handful of things. If you're a buyer out there and you're getting frustrated, we want you to hang into the market, okay? So here are some tips about keep helping you to hang in, okay? Let's talk about those, all right? It's what you put down, i.e. deposit and due diligence money, that makes lending work. It's also the lender that makes this scenario work. You got to have a lender that's responsive. One of the things I love about Sandy is that she actually calls the listing agent, or she'll send a video, or she'll do something to help support the strength of the buyer. The agent makes a difference in this market around making the deal work. And you know that from your perspective. When you get an agent that's good and an agent that's not so good, or you get two bad agents, what's it like at the closing, Brenna?
Well, nothing short of a nightmare. Good agents can make or break a deal. And by good, I mean communicative and proactive.
Yep, that's exactly right. And, you know, it's not our job to get our feelings hurt. It's our job to protect our clients and their interest. You know, it really is. It's also flexibility that makes a buyer win. If you're able to work with the seller, if you're able to accommodate it through a lease back or a date or a term or an item, you may win just because of that. So these are ways other than cash. It's also understanding how the market works. If you come into this market and you are a buyer that needs financing and you're not willing to put forth the right amount of offer and the right amount of down payment, then maybe you need to sit on the sidelines for a while, because you're not going to win. You're just not. And agents right now are saying, you know what, if you're not willing to listen to me, I'm not going to show you 50 houses and write 15 offers. I can't do that. I've got other buyers that will respect me more and will actually help you win. Right? Next is backup offers can help you win. If you've got a financed offer and you know the statistics I've been preaching, which is nationally 1 out of 3 offers written falls through, that means you got a 35%, or actually it's 35 is the statistic, I rounded down, but 1/3 of them are going to fall out. You got a 1 in 3 chance of actually winning. Now, that's on a national basis. Locally, it's not quite that high. But say it's 25% or even 20%. I'll take a 1 in 5 chance if I really love the house. Doesn't stop you from looking at other stuff. If your backup hasn't been accepted and you find one and you go under contract, you cancel the backup. But it gets you in the game. New construction. There are new construction homes available out there. Sometimes you have to get into a lottery, but sometimes there's inventory. There's inventory in Mint Hill in new construction right now. I get emails every day. The love letter. Now, I'm not a fan of the love letter. I'm going to tell you, it's a HIPAA nightmare. Don't be sending me pictures of your kids and your dog and your... I'm not sending it. But it's a nightmare. But there have been rare occasions where I've seen it work. I don't like it, though, because it could put buyer and seller at risk. Right? She's shaking her head.
Yeah, it definitely opens you up a bit there.
It does. Goodwill also goes a long way in a transaction. Goodwill. And for those that want to understand what I mean by goodwill, I mean goodwill, which means a back and forth that is equally yoked in a way to find compromise and happiness. If you're an FHA, VA, or a down payment assistance buyer, you're at a super duper disadvantage. It doesn't work well in this market, and you're not going to be competitive. So that's just the truth. Doesn't mean it's impossible, but it's hard. Think about the things that I've said there, and if you're financially in a place where you're trying but you're not winning and you're getting frustrated, you can either look at the things that I've shared, you can sit on the sidelines and gather a little bit more money so that you can compete, or maybe you get the help of some companies like Ribbon, and we're going to talk about that in a different show, or mom and dad, you know, to come in with cash if they have it, and, you know, you refinance mom and dad out. But anyway, you got to be flexible. So that's what I'm saying. Oh, all right. All right, Brenna, let's talk about you. Let's talk about title insurance. I mean, that's not a paint dry subject. It's a real value add protection for a buyer in and the bank in a real estate transaction. Yes?
It really is. I mean, when you're thinking about it, almost think about it in terms of homeowners insurance. You wouldn't spend, you know, arguably the most money you're going to spend on an investment in your life to date and not have that insured. And just like you'd get homeowners insurance to insure the dwelling, you really need title insurance to insure your title.
Yeah. So why does a seller need to really have it? What is it going to do for you?
Well, from the seller's perspective, it's going to come in handy when you go to sell and a new title search is performed for your buyer, and it's either a title search that's tacking to the policy that you have in place, which means that you're just searching up from that date. So unless you've done anything personally to impair the title or add additional liens or judgments, you're pretty smooth sailing most of the time. And likewise, if there is something that pops up, you have an insurance policy that can possibly, potentially, you know, come in and save the day from something that could maybe have been a deal breaker otherwise.
Yeah. So what are those issues? What are those gotchas that could trigger that maybe could cover you?
Yeah, the one we see the most, and I'm sure you can agree, is old uncanceled deeds of trust.
Oh.
So, yep, it's fun to deal with. Some are more tricky than others, but typically what typically what we see happening is maybe somebody in the chain of title refinanced or even sold and paid off the mortgage, but the bank simply didn't do the last step, which is filing the satisfaction on record to actually cancel the lien on public record. And so it still shows up in a title search. Title insurance, depending on the situation, of course, equity lines are going to be difficult, if not impossible, to get insured over. Old equity lines, just based on, you know, the nature of it being a line of credit. But nonetheless, old deeds of trust, depending on the circumstances, you can a lot of the times get those covered with insurance, meaning that you can offer your buyer insurable title and move on.
Right. Now, let's say, for example, and this is a logistical question, you have a first mortgage and then you have a home equity line and you pay off your first mortgage, but you keep the equity line. Does the equity line go from the second position to the first position, or does it still say, well, I don't know, it's not subordinate to anything if you remove the first, right? So it does automatically go to the first position, right?
Right. In terms of the two competing mortgages, yes, the equity line would go to the first position. Of course, just assuming there's no other intervening lien that would be right. superior to that or filed right. before it.
Like a tax lien or something else, mm-hmm. which is pretty much superior to everything. All right. Well, we've got Brenna Heller with the Costner Law Firm, myself, Paul Jamison. For more Your Real Estate Today, don't go away. We're going to get into more of this, and we're going to answer some questions on the show Your Real Estate Today here on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to Show Your Real Estate Today. Paul Jamison here with the Jamison family of companies. That's Realty Property Management and Property Investments here spending Saturday with you with Brenna Heller with the Costner Law Firm as our guest. Thanks for tuning in with us today. We're excited to be sharing with you, and we're talking about the need for title insurance on your property. And we just talked about the fact that, you know, title insurance is a necessary thing. The most common issue, and I even had it this week, is an old deed of trust that a very large bank, Bank of America, that I didn't, you know, was somewhere similar to that name, didn't cancel. And it's so old, they didn't even have a record of it. But yet, there's still a blemish on the title for it. And it's an act of Congress when you find out 3 or 4 days beforehand that you've got this old deed of trust to try to get Bank of America to do anything. So it's a real problem and can delay closings and can cause you a real problem in the future. So other than these old loans or old deed of trusts, what other reason or what other things can that title insurance protect you from?
Really, a lot of things. Survey issues is one of them. You have to, as the seller, have gotten, or as the buyer, rather, have gotten a survey. Typically, if you do not get a survey, your title insurance policy is going to have a blanket exception, meaning that it's not going to cover anything that would have been shown on the survey. So if you get a survey, if you're purchasing property, you get a survey, and there is an encroachment, whether it's minor or significant, that gives you the bandwidth to negotiate with the title insurance company to see if it's something that they are willing to give you insurance over. And that has to be done before you close, so that when your policy is issued post-closing, you will have that affirmative built-in coverage that wouldn't be there otherwise. So that's a big one.
Gotcha. And what about all of a sudden the granddaughter of the previous owner, when the previous owner was deceased, all of a sudden says, wait a minute, that property was in my family and I have a right to that piece of property and I was never given that right, and so it's mine.
Yeah, I think that's a great example and one that really, I think, hits home with most people. That would typically be covered under a title insurance policy. So if you had that situation arise and you have a policy, a valid policy in your name, then more than likely you're going to have coverage for that issue, meaning that the title company is going to cover any loss or damage that it takes to go litigate something like that.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, These days, I've been to closings. I think the maximum number of signatures we've needed was 19. And I'm sure there are bigger ones than that with heirs and, of the decedent. I think I used that word correctly. Be lucky if you got them all.
Yeah, it can happen. I mean, estates can really be very complicated. Complicated and contentious at times. So it certainly is not out of the realm of possibility that somebody maybe intentionally or unintentionally was not included in conveyance out when you're talking about an estate.
Yeah. Hey, not to go backwards, but the survey. One of the things that I've seen and just want to run it by you is these days to try to get a survey on a piece of property sometimes takes 4 to 6 weeks. Is it possible to take that survey, even if it's after the closing and reasonably a short time after, within 2 to 4 weeks, and submit that, if there are no issues, submit that to the title insurance company to be attached to that policy?
It's possible. It's not advisable because, number one, if there are issues, you've already closed. You've lost your right to actually negotiate them with the seller or have them cured by the seller or, of course, you know, get that coverage from the title insurance company before you close. It's possible you could get an endorsement on your policy, which is essentially additional coverage after your policy is issued. But, you know, you could run a risk of that answer being no.
No? Well, how do you spell that?
I know it's a foreign word for you, but sometimes people say it.
Yeah, I've heard rumors of that, but yeah. All right. What about, everybody, including the great state of Mecklenburg County, doesn't always spell things right. You know, TJ, who's our producer, his name gets misspelled sometimes. Especially in the county. So, you know, sometimes they put a PH in it. So, you know, it just kind of happens, right? What if they spelled his name TR?
Yep, it does. Actually, my husband's name to this date in the tax records of Mecklenburg County is Jeffy. And his name is not Jeffy. It is Jeffrey. So,
you don't call him that, do you?
I mean, sometimes I do.
But see, you can figure out a solicitation call if they're looking at the tax records. They're asking, is Jeffy home? And you know automatically that call ain't legit.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. So, yeah, so mistakes happen, right? And they can happen in your chain of title. And we see them, you know, a decent amount when we're reviewing title. And a lot of the time, depending on the nature of the misspelling or the error and whether it really puts into question, you know, who the person was who, you know, signed the document or had title conveyed to them, a lot of times we're going to be able to get insurance for that on the title policy. So that's something we'd identify at the title search and review stage and then get our buyer insurance for their policy.
Okay. Yeah. And then have there been instances you've seen where things just got filed wrong?
Sure. Things get filed wrong all the time in the wrong county. That's, you know, a little bit bigger of an issue.
And yeah.
Probably not going to get insurance over that. You're probably going to have to correct that when that happens. But things do get filed incorrectly, indexed incorrectly a lot of the time as well. So depending, again, I know I hate to qualify every one of my answers with it depends, but truly, depending on the situation, you could possibly have some coverage in your policy for something like that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So who pays for this?
At close. closing, the buyer is going to pay for the title insurance policies. And I say that plural because if the buyer has a lender, they will be required to purchase a title insurance policy for their lender. I wish we didn't have to say that the owner's policy was optional, but it is required on the disclosures. It is an optional fee. The buyer can choose whether or not to purchase an owner's policy. And they would, of course, if they choose, which we hope they will, to get one, they'll pay for that as well. Something to keep in mind in terms of cost, though, is that an owner's policy, especially if you're getting a loan, is really very cost effective.
Yep.
You are required to purchase the lender's policy. And so when you buy your owner's policy, they're not going to charge you again for the value of your loan. You're only going to be charged for the difference between your loan value and your purchase price.
Right.
So a lot of times that can be a really nominal fee depending on how much you're financing.
Yeah, that's really great. So, you know, it's a one-time charge too, right? It's not an annual renewal. And is there a rule of thumb as to what approximately a house would be, a policy would be?
Well, it depends. It's based on the insurance rate regulations and calculators. But I mean, I've seen them as low as zero when you're financing 100% of the purchase price. And you know, most of the time I see them in the $20 to $100 range.
That's for the owner's portion. Right. Right. Okay.
Exactly. For an owner who is financing.
All right. Okay. So what is an enhanced policy? And we've got about 30 seconds. So this is important. So if we have to come back in the next segment and talk about this more, we will, but there's also an option for what's called an enhanced policy, right?
You're right. Yeah, there's a standard policy and an enhanced policy. There's a lot of nuanced distinctions, but I'd say that the biggest distinction in an enhanced policy is that you can get some post-closing coverage, meaning coverage for things that happen after you buy the property. A standard policy is really going to stop on the day that you buy it. So we search the title back and time, but if anything happens after you purchase it, typically in a standard policy, that will not be covered.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's something that would really make a lot of sense. I've got a couple questions with that we're going to take after the break. The show, Your Real Estate Today. Thanks for being with us. Brenna Heller with the Costner Law Firm. I'm Paul Jamison. Much more to come, so stay with us. The show, Your Real Estate Today, here on News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back. I wanted to finish that, you know, couple of chords before I started talking, you know, just to make sure people's jam was good. The show, Your Real Estate Today. Hello, friends. I'm Paul Jamison, your host with the Jamison Family of Companies. That's Realty Property Management and Property Investment. Here with Brenna Heller with the Costner Law Firm. We're spending Saturday with you talking real estate and love doing it. Just to kind of put an underscore, Brenna, on the enhanced title insurance policy. These days, fraud is a big thing. And there is some fraud protection there around the title of your home. That's something you hear a lot about, right?
It is. Yeah, we hear probably ads on the radio all the time and, you know, other things advertising different kinds of protection against that. In the sense of title insurance, what we're talking about today, an enhanced policy versus a standard policy, the enhanced policies do a lot of the times cover some post-policy issues. So, again, just to reiterate, most standard policies really cover everything up to the time in which you take title. An enhanced policy is going to give you some additional coverage for after that time you take title. And one of those issues is for forgery affecting the title. So I think that's really what we would look to if there was some sort of fraud, meaning a fraudulent conveyance. Somebody forged your signature on a deed or even a deed of trust and took out a loan that encumbers the property. That should be covered under that provision on an enhanced policy.
Yeah, I really like that. As a matter of fact, just to kind of tell you where Brenna and I are, I've got a lot of the non-enhanced policies, and I'm looking at upgrading those, and she's going to check into that for me. Because that's one thing these days, technologically, I think that's important. I'm not sure what I have. So I want to be sure I've got those enhanced policies to protect the interests that I have in real estate. And I think it's an important thing to have. And I've been personally involved in a situation where having an owner's policy on where a client paid cash and they had title insurance and an old deed of trust appeared that was missed in the title search for $69,000. And that was covered by having that policy in place. So it was a good thing that they negotiated with the bank. It was a big bank. I'm not going to mention their name, Wells Fargo. But it was really, it was a great thing that my client was glad I recommended. And unless if a client doesn't get title insurance and refuses to get it, that's their right if they're buying the property with cash. But we make them sign a whole bunch of stuff, don't we?
Yeah, we do. You'll certainly, if you're closing with us, sign an acknowledgement and a hold harmless, just saying, first you'll get a phone call from an attorney to really talk through, you know, the risks and the benefits of getting a title insurance policy and not getting one. And then if you opt not to, we'll have you just sign something saying you understand the risk, you're willing to take it, and you're not going to hold anyone else liable for it.
Right, exactly. All right, so let's jump into rentals quickly. I don't know if we're going to have time to talk about disclosures, but I want to make sure for the investors out there that are listening, we talk about rentals for a minute. There's been a tremendous uptick in occupancy. Why, might you ask? Well, if you can't find a place to buy, you're going to need to find a place to rent. Huge uptick in occupancy for rentals. So much so that the rates for rentals since the first of the year have climbed about 11%. That's a big number. So we're noticing, you know, the same kind of thing with multiple applications on properties. We're seeing it everywhere. So, you know, it's in a lot of cases more expensive to rent than it is to buy. The affordability index is truly showing that it is still cheaper to buy than it is to rent because of the rates. But if you can't buy, what good does that do you? People still need a place to live, right? Some people are just going ahead and rent, and the reason it's so active is because they're tired and they just decided to wait a year and see what happens. We talked about that buyer fatigue earlier in the show today. Millennials right now, who are our biggest buyer pool, sometimes just don't have enough savings to compete and need to sit on the sidelines and hoard some cash. I mean, that's a fact of life, right? And a lot of seniors, aka people over 90, saying that for my own benefit, people over 60, 50, 5, whatever, who want to downsize, are not doing it because the availability of senior inventory is very low. So a lot of folks in my situation are cashing out and going to find a place to rent. Because when you're renting, depending on the lease or the location, maybe the most you're doing is cutting the grass, but you're not fixing the AC, you're not, you know, doing the things you do as a homeowner, and your money's in the bank. So when the time comes, you got the moolah to do what you want to do. So there you go. Also, as promised at the beginning of the show, I want to talk to you about how to get mo' money for your home. Wasn't mo' money a rapper or something? Something like that. I know. And regardless of that, I don't do it well, so that didn't happen in any way. How to get more money when you sell. First, obviously, you have to list it. If you're just selling it kind of on yourself, you're not giving the market a chance to actually show you what that home is worth. Secondly, you have to make the yard appealing. Because if you put a home on the market or are getting ready to, a lot of people will be driving by. And if your yard looks like it's not taken care of, they're going to assume the inside is not taken care of. Because that's a signal of what's inside. So that's another way to get more money. Third, the more work you do on the inside, the more money you'll get. Just because we can get away with a lot of things that we couldn't get away with when we had a buyer's market versus a seller's market doesn't mean that you can't command a premium by going ahead and doing the things that need to be done. You will. But this, honestly, is the kicker. And I've learned it. And even in a buyer's market, I learned it. And that is, if your home is more than, let's call it 5 to 10 years old, do a pre-inspection. Having the ability to say, when you're putting these large due diligence or non-refundable deposits down on a home, and there is no reference to condition, it's scary for people. If you take that card off the table, it brings more prices and more comfort. And lastly, the less greedy, the more prepared, the more money and less hassles you'll see. It's a fine line you have to walk, so optimize your price while setting yourself up to close. All right. So, Brenda, if they have a legal question or would like to talk to you, how do they reach you at the Costner Law Firm?
Call me directly. My number is 704-900-1134.
Thank you. 704-900-1134. All right. Brenda Heller with the Costner Law Firm. I'm Paul Jamison. If you want to talk to us, 704-846-DONE. No, that's 846-3663. You're on the web at myjamisonhomes.com. I got to the done part fast. Thanks for spending time with us. God bless. Talk to you next week. The show, Your Real Estate Today. Be well.